Will she move or won't she? Reniqua Allen is a New York writer who left readers hanging at the end of her recent opinion piece in the New York Times, in which she thinks out loud about how African-American millennials are moving from the North to the South, a region many of their grandparents fled in the Great Migration in the 1930s. And one reason, their grandparents may have fled, but the millennials can feel their presence there. But what will Reniqua do? Reniqua Allen's op-ed was titled, Racism is Everywhere, So Why Not Move South? She joins us from NPR's New York studios. And Reniqua, you're seeing this movement of Black millennials anecdotally, but there's some pretty solid research.
Yeah, I heard stories of people moving to the South. I knew many of my friends and colleagues were thinking about moving to the South. And I knew that some of it seemed to be economic, but some of it seemed to also be cultural, that something was drawing people to the South. And when I started thinking about this book that I'm writing about Black millennials and the American dream and just what the future meant, I looked at this research about where Black millennials were moving to. I was shocked to see this research that they were moving to the South, but I was even more shocked to find that white millennials and Asian millennials were moving to distinctly different places.
Well, talk more about that. You write, between 2000 and 2014, 61% of millennials moving to New York were white. So there's a movement of white millennials to New York. Only 9% of 18 to 29-year-olds moving into New York were Black in that time period. And the stats about them moving south are, nationally, 82,000 Black millennials migrated south in 2014. That's census data. And many of them came from the Northeast, the Midwest, and the West. They are settling in the South.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but I guess not so crazy when you look at young Black culture. Like for me, after I saw those statistics and was kind of shocked, I thought about what was happening in popular culture. I thought about my favorite new shows on television. And those shows were Atlanta, which is based, obviously, in Atlanta by Donald Glover. I thought about Insecure, which was based in L.A. And then I thought about shows like Girls, which Lena Dunham, writes and stars in. I thought about Broad City, which is incredibly funny, and I love it. But these were all shows about white millennials looking for their American dream. Mm-hmm. They were centered in New York City, kind of the traditional space for creatives and writers and those type of folks. But the shows about Black millennials were centered outside of New York City, which was something that I think is reflective of in those statistics about Black millennials. And person after person that I spoke with said that New York was not the center of Black young life anymore, which is kind of shocking to me. I grew up here. I love New York City. I grew up with Tupac and Biggie and Nas. And to see that this new culture that was based out of the South was emerging and has been, for years, I had to take a step back and think about why I'd been so attracted to the North and why I was so hesitant to the South, and where I think that the best life that I can live, where's that located? And I'm not really sure anymore.
Well, you have some telling lines here. First of all, you say for you, it was beginning to seem that Black millennial culture, the center of Black life and the idea of Black hope and opportunity, are now squarely located in the South. I'm white, and when I'm in the South, it feels to me as if I'm seeing more integration, more African-Americans in leadership roles or in jobs I don't see them in the North. And I can hear listeners saying, well, wait a minute, the Civil War, the Confederate flag, what about racism? Talk about what you are hearing from other millennials and what you saw yourself when you went to the South.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing for me about the South, I think of the South, I see Confederate flags, I think of the Civil War. It's really hard for me to kind of get past that. I feel like I see more racism there, but when I really sat down to think of it, honestly, I felt more racism in the North.
Talk about a story you share about you're on the Fancy Dance Upper East Side and you go in to get an espresso.
Man, so the Upper East Side has continuously frustrated me. New York City frustrates me. I think it is a very segregated city. And I think you're right. The South in some ways feels more integrated than the North. I live in a Black community. You know, I live in a town, Englewood, New Jersey, which literally the town is separated by railroad tracks, and you have largely upper income whites on one side and working class and middle class Black people on the other side. And so one day I was walking on the Upper East Side, which is a space that I typically just don't feel welcomed by in general. I'm used to people following me in stores. You know, I am brown skin. I usually have my hair in some kind of afro, and I usually have big hoop earrings. And I walk inside this espresso bar, and the barista walks up to me and from behind the counter and says, "Are you sure you want an espresso?" I'm like, "Yeah, this is an espresso bar. Of course I want an espresso." And he kind of aggressively, like, reaches up and grabs a cup and says, "Do you know that it comes in this small cup?" And I'm like, "Yeah, oh, that's man. Why I wanted a cup of espresso." And, you know, I brushed it off and I sat there and I looked around the place, which was all white people, young teenagers, older people. Specifically, I sat at the bar and I watched what the barista, how he interacted with other customers. And I noticed he did not do that with anyone else. He never questioned anyone else's order. He never asked if they knew what size the cup was. And it just seemed like a racial microaggression. It's one of those things that I think I will never really know what this barista was thinking. You know, in New York City, I've never seen a Confederate flag, actually. You know, I haven't really encountered racism in such an explicit way. No one's ever called me the N-word. It's much more subtle. And that's what I was trying to convey, though I will say lots of readers wrote to me and said that they felt the same way on the Upper East Side, no matter if they were Black or white. So maybe I take it with a grain of salt. But it's the little things that frustrate you as a young Black person. It's this feeling of invisibility and you're not worth it. You know, once they start to pile on, at least for me, I'm starting to wonder if, hey, you know what? New York is just as bad as someone holding a Confederate flag. And that's what I found when I spoke with many of these young millennials.
Well, there's some other statistics that and research that you point to. The Southern Poverty Law Center says there's more hate groups in New York and Pennsylvania than there are in Georgia, Mississippi, Virginia. The list goes on. And you and some other young Blacks are saying to each other, the title of your piece, racism is everywhere, so why not move south? And the benefits. You met somebody, a young woman, a South Carolina native, who went back because instead of buying this $170,000 co-op, so it's probably a small place in a building with an 800-plus maintenance fee, she can now get a four-bedroom townhouse for $200,000 in a good school district for her young son. But there's something else. There's
right.
this cultural thing. You got to talk to your great aunt Dee, who I guess recently died at 99. And, you know, she had fled the South in the Great Migration. You went to the town she left and heard about the KKK and all those kinds of, you know, chilling, horrible things. But also she left roots there.
Right. And I think that's what the interesting thing to me about all of this was, that you know, for years I'd heard that the South is cheaper. That's not a surprise at all. But this real connection to the South, this connection to this land, this real sense of home, it was also about the South being a quote-unquote Black Mecca. And it's interesting because for me, she said, yes, New York City has tons of Black people, but it felt like a Black community there in ways that it didn't in New York City. I think we don't have that connection in the North. I mean, for me, I went to Manning, South Carolina, where my family is from, and met up with this wonderful woman, Misha Witherspoon. My family's last name is Witherspoon. She was young. She was bright. You know, she was professional. And I kept sitting there saying, could this be me? You know, and I just felt this sense of connection, this shared history, this visibility that I think is harder for me to feel in some ways up here.
So, Reniqua, what are you going to do?
You know, I don't know. I think I'm trying to figure out what this idea of a promised land looks like and what that means to me. I don't know.
Reniqua Allen, New York-based writer, producer. Her upcoming book that she mentioned is It Was All a Dream, Black Millennials, Migration, and Mobility. We'll link you to her recent New York Times opinion piece at herenow.org. Reniqua, let us know what you do.
Thank you. I will.